When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
Midnight has passed, and in the stillness of these hours, the hauntings are never silent. This is Real Ghost Stories Online, After Midnight.
Some places never leave you. They bury themselves under your skin, stay curled in the back of your mind, waiting for a moment of stillness to claw their way back into the present. For me, that place was a neighborhood in Austin, not the lively, music-soaked Austin people imagine today. But a quiet corner of town where the streets felt narrow, the air carried something heavy, and every shadow seemed to lean a little too far in your direction. I was just a kid then, still small enough that afternoons belonged to scraped knees, pocketed treasures, and the kind of mischief you can only get away with before the world decides you should know better. My aunt watched over me most days after school. She had her own son, Mike, and along with my little brother, the three of us became a band of restless explorers, always on the move, always pushing our luck. And yet for all the trouble we managed to stir up on our own, nothing compared to what that house and that neighborhood had in store for us. It started in whispers, in stories that sounded too strange to take seriously. Mike was the first to say it out loud. He told us about a woman he called Mommy Ego, a figure that, according to him, followed him everywhere. I laughed it off, rolled my eyes, thought maybe it was just his way of keeping our attention. Kids invent things. Imaginary friends, monsters under the bed, whole worlds that disappear the second you shine a light on them. That's what I thought Mommy Ego was. But then the house decided to prove me wrong. One afternoon, we were piled in front of the TV, cartoons humming in the background while my aunt was off running errands. The kind of normal, forgettable moment you don't think twice about until the commercial break. A smiling woman appeared on the screen holding up a water filter and with perfect cheer asked, "Would you like a refreshing glass of water?" The second those words left her mouth, every sink in the house exploded into life. Water gushed from faucets in the kitchen, the bathroom, even the utility sink in the laundry room. Cupboards snapped open, dishes rattled. The air itself seemed to shift. We froze. None of us breathed. Mike didn't even flinch. He just sat there like it was the most ordinary thing in the world. My brother and I, though, were stunned, terrified. I forced myself off the couch, my heart beating like a drum line in my chest, and ran into the kitchen. I twisted the faucet shut, water spraying against my hands. Then I moved to the bathroom. That's when I saw them. Snakes. At least 10 of them, their slick bodies winding around the bars of the small bathroom window, tongues flicking against the glass as if they were desperate to get inside. Their scales shone wet in the dim light, coiling and uncoiling in a grotesque rhythm. I screamed for Mike's dad. He came storming in with a garden hoe, stomping out to the side of the house. I remember the sickening thwack of metal against flesh, the way the snakes writhed. The sound carrying like something alive was protesting. By the time my mom arrived to take me and my brother home, the mess had been cleared. But not from my mind. That image stayed. It still stays. And that was just the beginning. And the house wasn't the only place that seemed poisoned. The entire neighborhood carried an unease, like the earth itself remembered something we didn't. Our favorite playground was the creek nearby. It was freedom, a winding stretch of water, weeds, and shadows where the three of us could vanish for hours. There was a bridge there with dozens of Mexican free-tailed bats hanging like ornaments from its underside. We knew it stank, but we didn't care. It felt like a secret, like a place meant only for us. One day, sliding down the concrete drainage ramp into the flood basin, we caught a flash of movement. Something darted into the brush beneath the bridge, right under the mass of chittering bats. Curiosity got the better of us, as it always did. We ran along the waterline, feet splashing against the muddy bank, all the while keeping our heads low in case a bat swooped too close. The deeper we went, the stranger it felt. The sounds of the road faded, replaced by the rustle of reeds and the slow, patient trickle of water. That's when we saw it. At first, it didn't register, just a pale shape in the water, half buried in silt and weeds. But as we crept closer, the truth hit like a cold slap. It was the skeleton of a lamb, ribs splayed wide like fingers reaching out of the stream. Inside that cage of bone, coiled tight and motionless, was a snake, alive, waiting. It was wrong in a way I can't explain. Not just death, but something staged. A display we bolted, crashing back through the brush, not stopping until we were back under the open sky. And even then, we couldn't shake the feeling that someone or something had been watching. But the moment that would scar itself into me forever didn't happen outside. It happened during a sleepover at Mike's house. We were around 11, maybe 12. Old enough to think we were invincible, young enough to still cry for our mothers when the lights went out. His older sisters were supposed to be watching us that night. We ate junk food, played around, nothing unusual. But just before bed, Mike muttered something that made my stomach knot. "She's mad at me," he said. "Mommy Ego is mad." We laughed it off the way we always did. But laughter has a way of curdling when night presses against the windows. Sometime after midnight, scratching started. Slow, deliberate drags against the bedroom door as if claws were carving through the wood grain. We huddled together on the top bunk, every muscle tight, every breath shallow. The scratching grew louder, closer. Then it stopped for a second relief until the voice came, a woman's voice. Soft, distorted, muffled like it was seeping through water. It sang something low, like a lullaby twisted out of tune. We strained to hear the words whispering to each other. What did she say? But the syllables slipped away before we could catch them. Then the house erupted. Cabinets slammed open in the kitchen, dishes crashing to the floor. His sisters screamed from their room across the hall. We bolted, bare feet pounding against the floorboards, and found them cowering in their beds, eyes wide. The chaos spread like wildfire. Closet doors rattled and banged. Lights flickered, strobing the house in pulses of white and dark. The TV snapped on and off, static hissing between channels. Water faucets gushed. The whole house convulsed like it was alive. We fled again, this time into the living room, clinging to each other on the couch, blankets over our heads, praying the storm would pass. And then, silence. But silence has teeth. When we finally dared to peek out, we saw what the scratching had left behind. Mike's bedroom door was carved with deep gouges, long strips of splintered wood curled against the floor. Like something with patience and strength had been working at it. Nothing in the room itself had moved. Not a toy out of place, not a blanket ruffled, only the door, as if it had been singled out. We didn't know what to do, so we let the dog in. Lucky, a big white lab who had always been more babysitter than pet. If anything could protect us, it was her. We locked ourselves in the bedroom, huddled together with a movie playing low on the TV. Then the power went out. The woman's voice returned, floating through the dark. Footsteps followed, slow, steady, punctuated by heavy thumps that drew closer to the bedroom door. Lucky whimpered, tail tucked, and crawled beneath the bed. We were on our own. The doorknob jiggled, first soft, then harder, rattling in frustrated bursts. Pounding followed, fists, or something heavier, some slamming against the wood, shaking it on its hinges. We held our breath, too afraid to move, too afraid to scream, and then the door exploded open. It slammed against the wall so violently the knob punched a hole straight through the plaster. And then, nothing. The pounding stopped. The voice cut out. The silence returned heavier than before. We prayed, all of us. Kids who hadn't thought about God in months suddenly whispering for help. Eventually, exhaustion dragged us into sleep, but none of us forgot. Morning light has a way of softening the edges of nightmares. That next day, the wreckage looked almost absurd in daylight. Cabinets wide open, dishes shattered across the floor. A jagged hole in the wall where the door had slammed. Wood splinters still curled on the carpet outside Mike's room. To any adult, it looked like kids gone wild, a late-night tantrum of too much soda, too little sleep, and an imagination fueled by ghost stories. That was the story his parents chose to believe. We got the blame, grounded, scolded, told to clean the mess and not bring it up again. But inside, we knew. We knew no amount of mischief could carve gouges into a door like that. No prank could make a dog cower under a bed, whimpering like a puppy. And no child could manufacture that voice, that sickly lullaby that still echoes in the back of my skull when the house is too quiet. From then on, every visit to that house came with an unspoken dread. We'd laugh, joke, play games, but beneath it all was the constant question. What if it happens again? Every creak of the floorboards, every tap of water pipes, every hum of wind against the walls made us freeze, waiting for the scratching to start back up. And yet we kept going back. Kids are resilient like that. Or maybe reckless. Maybe both. The neighborhood itself carried its own weight of strangeness. I can't explain it, but the streets felt bruised. That's the only word I've ever found that fits. Like something had beaten against them over the years and the scars never healed. Houses leaned a little too close to the road. Yards felt emptier than they should. Even the air tasted metallic some days, like a storm was always about to break. The creek became both our refuge and our nightmare. We couldn't stay away, even after finding the lamb's skeleton with that snake curled neatly in its ribs. That image stayed with me, a grotesque kind of shrine in the water. I wondered sometimes if someone had placed it there, or if something else had arranged it, waiting for us to stumble across it. Either way, it became a warning we ignored. The older we got, the more the stories piled up. Strange lights flickering under the bridge at night, whispers carried on the wind when no one else was around, neighbors talking about pets gone missing or things moving inside their houses when they were away. It wasn't just Mike's home, it was the whole area. Like Mommy Ego wasn't confined to one house at all. Like she'd stretched her roots deep into the soil of that neighborhood, feeding on all of it. But no one wanted to hear it. Parents dismissed it as imagination. Teachers waved it off. The unspoken rule was simple. Don't give it attention. Don't feed it. Pretend it isn't there. The problem is, pretending doesn't make things disappear. I think back now and realize how much it shaped us. Every kid in that house grew up carrying pieces of it. The way we'd cling to each other when the lights flickered. The way we'd keep our voices low when the subject came up. The way we'd all glance at the door, at the corners of the ceiling, at the shadows. Even years later when we'd grown taller and supposedly wiser. It left a mark. Even as an adult, that neighborhood still pulls at me. I made the mistake once, or maybe the compulsion, though, of going back. Years later, long after I'd moved away, I returned. I wanted to see if it was still there. To prove to myself that it wasn't just childhood exaggeration, the house stood empty. Its windows stared blank and hollow at the street, curtains long gone, paint peeled back in strips like shedding skin. The yard was overgrown. The air was the same, heavy, metallic, charged. Standing there, I felt like I was 12 years old again, holding my breath as the scratching began on the other side of the door. And the creek, it hadn't changed either. The bridge still sagged under the weight of bats. The water still carried that stagnant smell. I slid down the same concrete ramp, weeds brushing against my jeans, and for a moment I was back in that brushy clearing, staring at the pale ribs of a lamb. My chest tightened. Every instinct screamed at me to turn back. But I kept walking. There was no lamb this time, no skeleton. In the shallows, just the memory. Just the echo of what had been. Still, I couldn't shake the feeling that if I stayed too long, something would surface, that maybe Mommy Ego was still down there, patient as ever, waiting for a new generation of kids to wander into her reach. When I left, I didn't look back. Some doors aren't meant to be reopened, but the memories, they don't fade. If anything, they sharpen with time. Like the mind knows this wasn't just childhood fear, wasn't just make-believe. It was real. And sometimes, late at night, when the world is silent and the house creaks with its own weight, I swear I hear it again. That low, distorted lullaby carrying through the dark. Some people like to say childhood fears vanish with age. That once you know the world is ruled by bills and traffic lights and clock-in shifts, the things that scared you as a kid lose their power. But I don't buy that. Not after what happened in that house. Not after what we lived through in that neighborhood. And if anything, adulthood only deepens the unease because when you're older, you realize how little you really understand. You recognize that fear doesn't always come with neat explanations. And you start to see how certain places, certain neighborhoods, carry a kind of memory. Austin has its fair share of stories, ghost tours, trace routes past historic theaters, haunted hotels, graveyards that predate the city's skyline. Ask around long enough and you'll hear tales about restless spirits of cholera victims, Civil War deserters, or musicians who died too young in smoke-choked bars. The city itself wears its history in layers, like paint on old wood. Scrape deep enough, you'll find what came before. But our neighborhood wasn't on any map of haunted Austin. It wasn't glamorous, wasn't part of the tourist trail. It was just an ordinary corner of the city, one the world barely noticed. Which, in a way, made it worse. Because whatever was there wasn't putting on a show. It wasn't performing for history books or ghost hunters with cameras. It was just living alongside us, feeding. And the name Mike gave her, Mommy Ego, still gnaws at me. Kids don't invent names like that without reason. Was it his attempt to describe something maternal but twisted? Something that clung like a parent but warped into menace? Or did he hear it from somewhere else, whispered into his ear in those long hours of the night when none of us were awake to hear? The more I think about it, the more I wonder if it wasn't just a name but a declaration. Ego, the self, the part of you that won't let go. Maybe she wasn't just a ghost, but a presence designed to bind itself to him, to us, through identity, through ownership. Mommy Ego, a title, a claim. And when I went back years later, standing outside that sagging house, I couldn't help but think, if she claimed us then, maybe she still claims us now. Even telling the story, I feel it. The prickle at the base of my neck, the electric charge under my skin. Like speaking her name is enough to wake her. That's the danger, isn't it? We think recounting the past makes us safe. That distance equals protection. But stories are invitations. They give the thing shape, breath, a way to travel from one listener to another. Maybe that's why my cousin sat so calmly the day the faucets turned on by themselves. Why he didn't flinch when the snakes writhed at the window. Why he shrugged off the gouges in his bedroom door. Maybe it was never about scaring him. Maybe it was about keeping him close. We all process it differently. My brother doesn't like to talk about it at all. He'll change the subject, crack a joke, steer the conversation anywhere but there. Mike avoids it too, though sometimes, when the family gathers, someone will let it slip. They'll say, "Remember that house?" And the room gets quiet. Everyone remembers. No one wants to. But silence doesn't erase the scars. That neighborhood is still there. The house is still standing, empty, but not forgotten. And the creek still carries its secrets, whether we acknowledge them or not. I think about the lamb's skeleton often, about the way the snake nestled in those ribs like it belonged there. Maybe that was the point all along, not just death, but the suggestion that life can curl inside death, thrive inside it, make a home inside the hollow of what once was. Isn't that what a haunting is? Something unnatural nesting inside something familiar. A voice inside your house, a figure inside your shadow, a mothering presence that whispers lullabies not to comfort, but to claim. And I have to admit, even now, even as an adult with all the logic and rationality I can summon, I don't walk down dark hallways without glancing over my shoulder. I don't hear the creak of a floorboard without remembering that distorted voice outside the bedroom door. I don't pray often, but when I do, it's usually after nights when dreams take me back to that living room couch, blankets pulled over my head, waiting for the pounding to start again. Maybe that's what she wanted all along, to never be forgotten, to live in us long after we'd outgrown bunk beds and creek adventures, to carve herself into the wood grain of memory the same way she carved into Mike's bedroom door. And if that's true, then she succeeded. Because here I am telling you this story, passing her name into your ears, extending her reach. And maybe tonight, when the house settles around you, when the pipes creak and the shadows stretch, you'll hear it too. The scratching, the footsteps, the lullaby. Soft, distorted, almost tender. Until you realize it's not singing you to sleep. It's singing you into her arms. And once you've heard her, you'll understand what we did. Mommy Ego never lets go.
Want more real ghost stories? Then press subscribe now so you don't miss any of the multiple new ghost stories we drop for you every day. Only here at Real Ghost Stories Online.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, That business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Target, Nike, and Instacart. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. It's easy to use, and you can get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's R-A-K-U-T-E-N, Rakuten.com.
Mr. Monopoly here. Monopoly is back at McDonald's. Register in the McDonald's app so you're ready to...
get your bag!
Two ways to peel for a chance to...
get your bag!
Physical peels with select items and digital peels with others to...
get your bag!
Play Monopoly at McDonald's.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
No purchase necessary. See rules at playmcd.com for full details and amoe.playmcd.com to play without purchase. Ends November 23rd, but bonus play ends November 2nd. Monopoly is a registered trademark of Hasbro. Copyright McDonald's.
Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts. Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts. Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts. Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts. Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way.
hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice, and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts. Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.